Motivational Monday with yours truly, who am I, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is my pleasure to meet you on this wonderful Monday in the new year. That's right, we're in a brand new year. Amen. Full of purpose, brand new ventures, brand new blessings, amen, brand new increase, amen. And with all that, you know, comes some brand new troubles going to come. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That he that is in us is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwelling on the inside of us, giving us power to overcome anything and all things that come against the plan of God for our lives. Amen and amen. Well, once again, this is the 8th day of January, and we're in 2024. Amen. Yes, I dated it. Amen. If you're listening to this in some distant future, I hope it bless you real good. I hope it meets the need, answer the questions that are in your mind. Is there a plan of God for me in my life? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes. There's a plan of God for you in your life. Amen. And you have the right to fulfill that plan. Amen. And you can attain that plan. There is a way for you to get that plan. This month of January, we're going to be dealing with purpose. Amen. And so while we're dealing with purpose this month, we're going to be talking with from the standpoint of kingdom development. And this kingdom development deals with personal growth. Amen. And so when you're dealing with growth, growth is something that growth itself is automatic, but development is something that must be done on purpose. Amen. It must be done. You must choose to develop. Amen. You can get saved and love the Lord and stay as a new babe Christ all the days of your life and never grow up to be who God really wanted you to be. You can live you can be saved and live an unfulfilled Christian life. That's true. It's possible. But that was not God's purpose for you. The purpose for God of saving you was not just so that you can go to heaven. Amen. If the whole purpose of getting saved, that's being redeemed, being reclaimed by God, then when that happened, why don't he just take us shortly after or right afterwards? No. The purpose of us being saved is to fulfill the purpose of God here on earth. Amen. And so you and I have a purpose of God in the earth. Amen. Lord willing, on Sunday coming, I will be talking from the standpoint of the potter, dealing with purpose. But tonight, I want to share a few things with you as we go into the Word of God. So hopefully you have your paper, your pen, your tablet. Hopefully you have your Bible, whether you have it digital or you have a printed copy. Hopefully you have all these above. Amen. If you got an audio copy, that's good too. Amen. Amen. Most of the Bible programs now, the King James versions at least, many of those programs you can get through Android and Windows. And I'm not sure about Apple, but I think it's the same, for free. Amen. And you can download these applications on your electronic devices, whether it be your phone, your tablet, amen. And you can even download it on your watch, amen. I had to reset my watch, so I got to put my Bible back on here. But I had my Bible on my watch because we had a saying. Old Pastor Calhoun, my dear brother, my baby brother, was talking about your device being actually smart or not smart. He said, if you got this so-called smart device called a smartphone, and you got all these different apps on it, but you don't have a Bible on it, he said, it's not a smartphone. It's a dumb phone. He said, but that's all right. Let me help you clear that up. Just simply go to your Play Store, your App Store, and download, type in B-I-B-L-E. And hopefully you'll see a red version that says Holy Bible, and it'll be a shape of a little Bible. Amen. Download that application, and then your device will no longer be a true dumb device, but it will actually be a true smart device because it has God's word in it. And so that will make way when you go to get online and you go to tweeting and Facebooking and YouTubing and all of these other multiple media platforms. When you finish all of that, putting your face and looking at this and looking at that, you can dial back and sit back in the comfort of your home or your automobile or at your lunch break at work, and you can open up your Bible and read the Word of God for yourself. Amen. That means if you went to church on Sunday, your pastor preached a message, or if you listened to us on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving your house, preachers like myself, we gave you scripture to go along with what we were talking about. And we told you the scripture and verse, chapter and verse of a particular scripture from the Bible, so that you can go behind us and read it for yourself to see whether the teaching was in context or did we preach a pretext just to make a subject of some kind or another. But you'll be able to know the Word of God for yourself. And here's the beautiful thing about it. God is so wise and so infinite in his wisdom. He know how to speak for himself. God know how to verify his own truth. Amen. So when you read the Bible, the Spirit of God, especially if you're a born-again believer, he bears witness of the truth. You ever had a friend that was somewhere that you wasn't, and you say, well, I heard such and such and such and such. But because they was there, they can say to you, yeah, that happened. Or, nah, man, that ain't how that happened. It happened like this, and give you the right direction and show you how to find the information for yourself. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, me and you, we weren't there 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave his life. We know he was born. We know there are other non-gospel writers, non-biblical writers that wrote about, Josephus wrote about this man called Jesus of Nazareth. He talked about the miracles and so on and so forth. We have historical records proving that he was a man that did many miracles throughout Jerusalem. So him being a historical figure is a fact. But we wasn't there to see everything that was done, but the Holy Spirit was. And the Holy Spirit could bear witness to your mind, to my mind, to our hearts, to know that what we are putting our faith in, who we are putting our faith in, is affirmative. It's true. We're not believing a myth or a lie, but we're believing in something true. When we read the ancient scriptures of old about the great forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, talking about Moses, the lawgiver, many of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Obadiah, and all of these men that came before us that had an encounter with Almighty God. As they wrote their stories, they just didn't write anything, but they wrote as the Holy Spirit gave them what to write. And these things were passed down for us so that we may know the nature of God, the purpose of God, and who is God. And so when we study the scriptures, they verify themselves. And then we put certain principles of the Bible to practice. It proves itself by doing just what it says. I am a witness that paying your tithe, verse 11, which I stand on most, out of that Malachi 3, that he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. I can stand because many times when things begin to happen, I begin to say to God, God, you say, if I do this, you would do that. And so God began to do what it is needed to be done in my life to rebuke the devourer from taking from me what God purposed for me. Amen, somebody. That's good news all by itself. That's a reason to be happy all by itself. That's a reason for us to glorify God all by himself. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so I'm going to open up the mics a little bit later and give everybody a chance to say hello and speak. But I really want to get right into it. It's a rainy day here in Memphis. A lot of places, storms are coming. The cold weather is coming in here in the continent of the U.S. And so want to be mindful of that. So I want to get into it just in case you have any type of interference or disconnection. I want to make sure I give you the scriptures for this evening. You can write them down so that you will have them for later. Tonight, we're going to deal with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to deal with Jeremiah 29 and 11, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and then Romans chapter 11, 9. Amen? And we're going to do that in that fashion. So, I will be reading, since we are Bible studying, I want you to have clear understanding of what I'm teaching. So I will be reading the New Living Translation, and I won't be, as I do on Sundays, preaching mainly from the King James Version. when I preach from the King James Version, I want you to be able to quote the scriptures that we quote and be assured quoting something correctly. But we try to stay with something particular. Now, in your particular church, if y'all use the English Standard or something else as the primary translation that you use, that's fine too. Follow the instructions of your pastor. That is for the spirit of unity, so that when scriptures are quoted among your members and congregation, that you all are saying the same thing. And that way we limit confusion amongst non-believers and folks that are young in the faith. And so that's why when I read different translations, I make sure you know that I'm reading a different translation, because we want to be clear. But most of all, we want you to have full understanding. The Bible says, "And all I getting, get understanding." So no matter what's going on, we want to make sure we have the right understanding. So this month again, January 2024, the month emphasis is on purpose. And the topic I will be dealing with this month will be kingdom development, personal growth. Okay? Kingdom development, personal growth. And that's something each one of us is responsible for doing. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, our keeper, our paracletus, he is in the heart of the believer to help guide us in this process. And it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. No one goes to make a cake from scratch and put the ingredients in the bowl and all of a sudden it's made. No, you got to mix it right. You got to put the right ingredients in, the right amount of ingredients in. You got to heat the oven to a certain degree, and you got to put it in there, and you got to allow time to cause that cake to rise and to bake and to be produced the way it is. And if it's a cake with icing on it, you got to allow it to cool down, and then you got to go through the process of putting icing on it or layering it up. Whatever you're doing in life that's worth doing, that's going to be any good, there's a process to it. Amen. And we must not be impatient and abort the process. Sometimes we want God to do stuff, and we want God to do it, and we want him to do it now. The Lord told Abraham he was going to make him a great nation, but the promise didn't come for 25 years. The children of Israel was delivered out of bondage in a day, but they didn't walk into the promised land until 40 years later. Now, that was because of their disobedience. How you obey God, how you follow God may be determined how you receive from God and what you receive. Some of us, we want God to bless us now, but we don't go through the process in to get the blessing that he wants for us. Just because you ask God for something, just because you have a good idea, number one, good is the enemy of great. And sometimes the devil will get us to try to do something good so that we don't fulfill that great purpose that God has originally planned for our lives. Oh, I know y'all don't like the sound of that. None of us do. But David went out to fight a battle one day, and when he went to fight the battle, he went to fight the battle because he had the strength to do it. God didn't tell him to go fight it, but because he had the strength to fight it, he went out to fight it, only to come home victorious to find that all the women and children in his village was gone. Because the enemy came in because he wasn't home where he should have been, because he was out doing something good. And it had not been for him encouraging himself in God, he might have got stoned that day by his men because he felt that bad himself, that he deserved it as a leader for misleading his men away from their women and children to fight a battle that wasn't theirs for the name of good. But God allowed him to recover everything in full. That's because he turned to God to do next. So we will make mistakes as human beings. And when we realize we have made mistakes, regardless to how embarrassed it may make us feel or seem, we have to turn our face to God and ask God what to do now. This is 2024. How many of you still have your 2023 calendars? Well, your 2023 calendars are still a good thing. It showed all the past or previous birthdays. Maybe you wrote in there. If you had certain doctor's appointments or things of that nature, job appointments, you wrote them in that calendar. Whatever holidays you was observing, you either highlighted or marked those in that calendar. And they were specific date. But if you look at your current calendars, those dates and today's day may not add up or measure up. What you did last year on a Monday may this year happen on a Wednesday. So you can't operate today on last year's vision. There's a new year. So we are to seek God what to do now. All that we achieved and have been successful in doing last year or in our past. But this is a new season. This is a new day. This is a new year. So I need a new anointing. I need new purpose. I need new guidance, new understanding. I may fulfill what he want me to do in this season. Amen, somebody. Now, our first scripture is coming from Matthew chapter 6, and this is our springboard. Matthew chapter 6 tells us in the New Living Translation, seek, S-E-E-K, the kingdom of God. Seek what? The kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Our issue is we're seeking happiness. We're seeking a wife, a husband, a job, a career, money, a place of belonging. In those things, and we have lost sight of what to do. Here's the next part of that verse. Above all else. King James says, seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. This version says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. That means God don't have a problem with you wanting to build a family. God don't have a problem with you wanting to build your life, to build your career. He has no problem with that. That's good. But above all of that, seeking your education, whether it's a 2-year degree, 4-year degree, 6-year degree, 8-year degree, whatever it is to achieve your goal, he don't mind that. But put him above all of that. You want to get married? Make sure that God is the head of your life and her life, mister. Ma'am, you're going to follow a man? Make sure that he's following God before you say yes to him. You're raising your children? Make sure they see you honoring God. Why? Because if you honor God, they'll honor you. But if you dishonor God, then you have sown a seed that you have to reap. And you can't sow tomato seeds and get oranges. Don't work. So he says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, New Living Translation, Kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Oh, preacher, man, y'all church folk always tell you just want to put church first, man. What's wrong with that? You want to put everything else first and you still hollow inside. You wonder why you're not happy. If I'm broke and I'm in the world and I got fame, I'm not only broke, but I'm broken, hollow inside. But I can be broke in Christ and realize that I'm just between blessings, because he's already promised me in him that he's going to supply my every need. So I don't panic when the lights go out. I don't panic when the job closed down. I don't panic in the midst of a car accident. I don't panic in the midst of a heart attack or stroke. I didn't panic in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. Why? Because my focus was in the kingdom of God, and my lifestyle was to live righteously. And because of that, he was responsible to supply my needs. The word seek is to, or means to seek, is to attempt to find. Some people say, well, I've been seeking God. I said, well, what are you looking at? Well, you know, my auntie and them got a church. Okay. Where you looking at? Where you looking for God at? Well, you know, my daddy used to be. Where you? Not where they found God. Not where how they found God. Where are you looking for God and his kingdom? The kingdom is not just, this says the kingdom of God. So this is not just God. This is all that's inclusive with God. See, if I told you I was looking for Mickey Mouse and I'm at Busch Gardens, you're going to say, hey, you're in the wrong kingdom, because Mickey Mouse is at Disney World or Disneyland. You're in the wrong kingdom. And so if I really want to find God, I need to be in the right kingdom looking for him. So, and if I'm going to find him, I got to go to his kingdom. Problem is, we think we got to die to get the kingdom of God. No, we can have the kingdom of God here. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means present. And how do we know it? Because he healed the sick without medicine. He healed the lame, the blind, the leprosy. He healed sin without medicine. He did all these great miracles to prove to us kingdom of God, the wholeness, the development, the purity of God is available for us. So my question tonight to everyone, in 2024, what are you looking for? I ain't trying to make that rhyme, it just did. In 2024, what or who are you looking for? That's my question. Jeremiah 29 and 11. The word of the Lord reads, New Living Translation. This is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah. He says, for I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not for disaster. King James says, evil. To give you a future and a hope. God wants to give us a future and hope. A future, everybody can look forward to the future because we all want to grow. When we were born, when we were little, we wanted to be bigger so we can get on the bigger rides. We wanted to be bigger so we can drive. We wanted to be bigger so we can do things that we saw adults do. So many reasons. But this says, and a hope. Hope for what? For what? Hope. Hope for that which I desire. Maybe I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Maybe I was born impoverished. Maybe I was born in somewhere where there was less provision for my family and myself. So the hope that he's given me is to know that not only is he able to feed me, but he's able to deliver me out of this broken economy. To deliver me. Maybe I was born in a place of incest or rape, and he's able to still deliver me into a place of promise, surety. He can give me something that will establish me to go and help those that are wounded and hurt, that are displaced, that don't know their father, don't know their mother. So his desire is, no matter where we are, to give us a hope. Maybe you're in a family that had money, but some wrong investment took place, and now you're worrying about losing it all and becoming bankrupt or poor. He still want to give you a hope that even if you lose everything, he's the God of restoration. He can restore whatever the enemy has taken from you unlawfully that we gave to the devil. You know, when you was young and you heard the word of God and you knew it was true, but you said, I'm too young to go to church. I'm too young to serve God. And so you gave the devil your best years of your life. And now you're old. You're 50, 60. And your health is failing. Now you want to give God your life, but you're wondering why you hurting. I don't know who that's for. I didn't come aiming at you, but if I hit you, I didn't mean to miss you. The hope is that God has preserved your soul. And yes, your body's going to go through some pain because you have given your best years, your strongest years to the devil. And then you want to give God leftovers. Well, the grace of God is there to save your soul. But you're going to have to endure some things. So, yes, you have a future in God. And our hope is that our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. So we stand on that promise. He gave us that to Jeremiah way back thousands of years ago, long before Christ. So God has a plan for your life and mine because he said, I know my thoughts towards you. You know, that's how we do it. You know, that's why they can call premeditated murder because you thought about it and then you went out and carried out the act. God ain't doing that. He's not thinking to murder you. But he is thinking to bless you. He is thinking to give you a promised future of hope. Okay? Now, same book, but go back to chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse number 5. New Living Translation says, this is what Jeremiah saying. The Lord gave him this message. He said, I knew you before I formed you. In your mother's womb, before you was born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, the same is applied to each of us, not the title or position of prophet, but that God has an appointment for each of us, and it's to our generation. It's to our families, to the community where we have been planted. So before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. In other words, he knew how we were going to process things. He knew how we was going to react to things. He knew even what decisions we would make when we didn't know what decisions we were going to make ourselves. God said, I knew all of that. And I've given you a purpose. Preacher, how do I find my purpose, my plan for my life? Remember, the foundation of this is I must know who I am, whose I am, so that I may understand my purpose. And so you must know who you are. What's your name? What family was you born in? What community are you now in? These things are very important to establish purpose even for 2024. You know, there's some things that you want to do, but you may not have the strength to do. I wanted to build my business bigger last year because prior to it, at the beginning of it, I had the strength to do it. For my fall, I couldn't do it. Didn't mean it was wrong. It meant that something else happened, and I had to change and adapt. I had to accept God's will for my life. I had to realize, even in the midst of my turmoil, my struggle, that God still is who he is, the Lord of all. And he can use me in whatever state that I'm in. So I couldn't let that stop me from preaching the gospel. I couldn't allow that to stop me from being head of my house. I couldn't allow that to stop me from being big brother to my siblings. I couldn't allow that to stop me from being a teacher to those that listen to me. I couldn't allow that to stop me from being a father to my children, even though they are grown. I couldn't allow that to stop me from being a husband to my wife. Why? Because I understand who I am and whose I am. Established my purpose for not my entire life, because God delay is coming. 10 years from now, God may have me in a whole nother country. I don't know. That ain't my plan. I don't plan on leaving the U.S. Somebody asked me, did I want to go to Barbados and different places? I said, oh, that's nice. Stay right over here where I belong. Yes, there's some parts of the world I would love to see, but I'm so glad for YouTube that I can visit everywhere in the world, and it don't cost me hardly nothing. Amen. Just my internet prescription. That's all. I know y'all think I'm for real about that. I don't have that ain't my drive. Now, if it's yours, more power to you. Go on to France and Paris and go on to London and England, all that. Go, do it. Go on to Egypt. Go on, see the pyramids. Go on, see the seven wonders of the world. Have yourself a ball. Amen. If that's what you want to do, do it. And do it with pride. But remember, take God with you. Amen. Amen. Now, Habakkuk says, chapter 2, verse number 2, I want you to look at this. This is a reply. And a reply means there was something said before. So there was a conversation going on. Many people don't realize when we read Habakkuk 2 and 2 that there was a previous conversation. So the Lord's second reply to Habakkuk. So in other words, God had already spoken. And for many of us, God has already spoken to us. Our issue is whether or not we listen intently, whether or not we believed, you know, how did we doubt, whatever. But God already been speaking. So here in Habakkuk 2 and 2, the Lord, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tables. Now, and this is the reason why I'm reading it in a new translation, because King James says, write the vision, make it plain. And so many people have taken that context out of context, because God says the vision, but he didn't say write a vision, he said write the vision. So the vision was the vision God gave. And what we do is we come up with proposals and ideas because we have a brain, and we write them things down, and because that's what we want. But we don't ask God if that's the best thing for us, is that what he wants for us. So when those things don't happen, we blame God. God, you said write this vision. Well, I wrote the vision, Lord. Lord, you done let me down. I don't understand what I done wrong. Blah, blah, blah. And you go to complaining and fussing at God and accusing God. And thinking God has failed you. And God is only obligated to fulfill his own word, not necessarily ours. Our words must agree with him. How do you know that, preacher? Because Jesus said when we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was crucified, he said, Lord, if you would, let this cup pass me by, but nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Why? Because Jesus was in a human form, and no normal human wants to be abused and misused and go through the process of a painful and brutal death. No one wants to be tortured. No one. Not a single person lives to be tortured. Not a single sane person, I put it that way. He said, but nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. So we're taught that. So Habakkuk 2 and 2 says, then the Lord said unto me. Start out with then. So that means there was something before. So in your study, go back and read Habakkuk chapter 1 and come on to this point and you'll have a clear understanding of what transpired. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on table. In other words, man, he goes from rock, get you a carving utensil, write out what I'm saying. Why? So that a runner can carry the correct message to others. I need this written out so nobody can change it. And I need this to be carried so that others will receive it just like I said it. Verse 3 said, this vision is for a future time. In other words, what God has given some of us may be for years down the line, but there's a process of things we must accomplish in that while we're waiting. And so our answer needs to be more to the point of, Lord, what to do next? So what we need to be asking in 2024, January 2024, Lord, what to do now? Why? Because your vision is for a future time. Now, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end. God has already told us he's the God that tells the end before the beginning begins. It is up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, in us, that we may fulfill the middle. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, here's the directive for us, patiently. Some of us don't have patience. This is how I know we don't have patience. You ever got back, you're driving to all my drivers. You ever been in a rush and you're trying to get somewhere and the person in front of you, you're in a you're in a housing district or what have you, where the speed limit is 30 or 35, and they are driving that, and you are on their tail, you're tailgating that person, riding their bumper. Somebody says, hurry up, hurry up, hurry. And you're upset because the person is riding. And then if the person is riding like 3-4 miles under the speed limit, you get an attitude. Come on, the speed limit is 35. You're going 30. They're going 30. What's wrong with you? You're going 35. It's a speed limit. Didn't say speed minimum. So the person doing what's right for them, and you got an attitude because you're behind them. And then you, then when you get a chance, you speed around them, blowing your horn, looking at them crazy, cussing them out, saying words you ain't got no business saying to them at all who's doing right. They ain't broke no law, ain't done no wrong. Because patience is not within you. Because you didn't want to wait. Because you didn't want to leave early. You didn't do what was necessary to be on time. And now you're mad at someone else because it seems like they're in your way. Take that same metaphor and apply it to so many things. Time won't permit me right now. The scripture says, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Amen. It will not be delayed. The King James says, though it tarries, wait for it is for an appointed time. I want you to understand that God knows when to bless us. Abraham's wife, Sarah, she got in a hurry thinking, I'm old, my husband old. The truth of God has not come to pass. So maybe God didn't mean me. Maybe God meant him with someone else. And she gave her servant to be a wife to him, to carry a seed for him. And one of the greatest issues we have still today is the struggle between Isaac and Ishmael. Because he had a child from the bond servant. The lady was a slave. She was a servant. That is not what God promised Abraham. He promised him a seed through the woman of the free. And so when God had to come back and reaffirm his word, and she laughed and said, you know, I'm an old woman now. Shall I have pleasure? God said, yeah. And she was going on 90, age 90, she gave birth to her first son. And she lived long enough to see him grow to be a bright young man. Because if my memory serves me correctly, I believe she passed away at age 126. God controls time. God know how to give you just enough time to enjoy the blessing he has called for your life. So don't be in a hurry. Amen, somebody. And I'm going to my final text. So when we look at Rebecca, we must begin to try to write down what God has said about us. and not what we're saying about ourselves or what others have thought about us. And if you're writing all of those things down, ask God to reveal to you the truth of what's being written. Take the time. Write down what you think God is doing in your life, what God has purpose for you. If you have an idea or goal, write it down and present that before the Lord and ask God to reveal to you whether or not that is right for you. Is that the purpose that he has for you? Because the worst thing you can do, spend 20 years building something God didn't tell you to build. I want to take us to Romans, my final chapter tonight. Romans chapter 11. I hope y'all enjoying this tonight. I hope I am being very clear, and I hope that you are taking your personal notes. One thing about when you're taking notes, I may be saying one thing, but God may be leading you with other connecting spirits. It was called connecting flights, connecting the dots, and helping you to guide or to navigate the life and purpose that maybe he has something in plan for you. So remember to take notes. Amen. Take these notes so that after this message is over, you can go back and meditate on it for your oneself to know that God loves us. And a lot of times we think because of our past failures and our past mistakes that God is not going to bless us or he won't elevate us. So the particular scripture that I'm bringing us to, and I'm not reading it in the King James, so it may read a little bit different, but this is what the scripture means. In King James, it said, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But in the New Living, it says, for God's gift, plural, and his call can never be withdrawn. What do that mean, preacher? That means, like the example I gave you about Sarah and Abraham, when Abraham received the prophetic word, it was given to him and his wife Sarah. But because of time, she thought it may have meant just her husband. And she offered something in her place. And by doing that, she created a paradox. She helped create more chaos. Because these brothers are still warring today. And so, but God did not withdraw the blessing or the gift. This is why we know that David was completely accepted, because David made mistakes. David done two things that God punished him for that we know of. Not that everything that David did was right, but there's two things that God punished him for. He punished him for setting up Uriah the Hittite to die because he slept with Uriah's wife and produced the seed and tried to cover it up. And then when God gave him instructions about the people to gather them, he began to number them, and God didn't tell him to do that. But because he had once done it, he began to do what he thought was okay, and it wasn't. And God punished him for that. But the purpose and plan of God for the Christ seed to come through his line, God never changed his mind concerning that. And so what you need to know is the gift of God has always been in your life, even while you was a sinner. The plan and the purpose of God for your life in the kingdom was there before you said yes to God. It is in your understanding your full potential do you fully maximize the gift that God has for you. There's a lot of gifted people in this world that can sing, play music, play sports, build businesses, instruct people, all kinds of things. Oracles, know how to speak real well, they're charismatic, all of that. And it has nothing to do with them being saved or not saved. It has everything to do with God gave them a gift. Because God gave it to them, it's theirs. And the only way they really can lose it is not to use it. God don't have to take his gift back. If you refuse to use it or if you abuse it, you do that, not him. I want you to be encouraged that God has a plan for your life and he has a purpose for your life. And I know normally I talk a little bit longer than this, but I'm really at the end of this lesson for tonight. Kingdom development, personal growth. Tonight we dealt with purpose. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Why? Because he has a thought and a plan for us to give us a hope and a future. Why? Because he knew us before he formed us. So our charge is to write the vision. Make it plain. Why? Because if it's just in my head, it can't help those that's supposed to be helping me. When I fell down, my customer base, majority of them wasn't written down. They were in my head. But I had a routine of when I served them in my head. My sons had to help me do my work. They said, Dad, we can't help you because only you know where you go next. I said, well, no, that's not going to help us. We need it written down so we know how we can help. Fear can hinder us from writing the vision of God because we fear failure. We fear rejection. We think that when people see it, they're going to look down on us. Oh, you can't do that. Ain't nobody in your family done that. How you going to do that? You ain't got this kind of money. You ain't got this education. You this, you that. And we fear the rejection. But number one, your vision is not for everybody to read. Don't spread it to everybody because everybody can't walk with you. Everybody can't go with you. Excuse me, I was talking in the other direction. Everybody can't walk with you. Everybody can't go with you. So you got to realize what God has for you is for you. And there's only a select number of people that's actually going to walk with you in fulfilling the purpose. And you don't want everybody with you because you don't need nobody taking God's credit for when you succeed in doing what God told you to do. And you certainly don't need nobody undermining how you obey God's word in your heart. So seeking and searching. You got to search God, seek God for yourself, so that he will point you in the right direction, so that you may fulfill the purpose, that plan that he has for you in your life. He will do it, but you must let him do it. Amen. I'm looking at the blog top board, and it looks like, okay, there we go. Amen. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening today. Thank you for tuning in. And maybe you're listening to this on the demand, or you've searching the internet, you listen to this at a different time. I want to say thank you for listening. We have many more on this site to listen to. So prayerfully, something I have said today has motivated you to be in all who God wants you to be. Amen. So,
amen.
You be that good transformer. Amen. You are more than meet the eye. God bless you.
Yes, you just enjoyed Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. A powerful message every Monday, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. You can get this show and all the Motivational Monday shows by simply saying, play Motivational Monday on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're on Alexa, iHeartRadio, Apple Music. Six Eyes Radio is everywhere. Global Six Eyes Radio Network. 424-243-9617. Also, when that box will be checked, on the Facebook site, you can listen to it right after we get off air. Share it with your friends. You'll enjoy Motivation on Monday for this January 8th, 2024, with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen, amen, amen. How you doing this evening, Brother Six? How's your mental?
Mental is great, sir. Mental is great. Two thumbs up, two paws up for trumpet.
Yeah, that's always going to be with Trumpet, you know. He's rolling out. He's living the best life right now.
Oh, yeah.
They both are. Good evening. God bless you.
Good evening. How you doing, Cool King?
I am awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Right. Did you enjoy the program tonight?
I most certainly did. I really appreciate it. Always a good message, always teaching us something new or expanding what we already know. So I always thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Good evening,
amen. Lady Bonnie,
God bless everyone.
How you doing?
I'm blessed to be here. I thank God for the word tonight. Thank God for being educated in the word and learning more and more each and every day.
Yes, ma'am.
It's good to be on a land of the living.
Yes, yes, and definitely so. I lost my cousin yesterday, Rosemary Pams. She passed away. So send out condolences to her family. Pray for my family, her family. So she passed away on yesterday, thyroid cancer. So just keep myself, my family, her family in your prayers, my whole family, my cousins, everybody. As you all know, January is a rough month for me. The month I lost Mama Six Eyes. On the 27th, and you know, Pastor Bonnet, anytime you can beat out Robert Tilton, you became her pastor. Many times. Call the pastor, son. Call the pastor. Well, I don't know if he's to call him. He's the pastor. And many times, Pastor preached to her. You know, not even off air. He preached to her. She loved the Pastor Bonnet. Yes.
Amen.
And I love that too. Amen.
Yeah.
I enjoy talking with her. Amen. And so many things that you know, God is awesome. And man, whenever we have an opportunity to share and encourage one another, man, it's a blessing. Well, I thank God for it. I thank God for getting to know them. I still remember back to your uncle. Amen. And being able to share with him and how God allowed that relationship to develop, man. And so I'm thankful for the connection that God has given us on this platform. So I'm just looking for God to do more and more.
Amen.
My sister is here. She said, praise the Lord. She was in the action over here. So she's enjoying the word. Amen. And I know she's enjoying it because she just came through, and God blessed her to still be here with us in 2024. And, you know, she had a stroke, you know, but yet she's here.
Amen. God's a physician of all physicians.
Amen.
And that's a blessing. She's still with us.
Yes.
And,
amen.
Yes. Yeah, God is good. And there's one thing you said about people not being able to go. Papa Six has always told me, he says, son, people may have their bags packed, but everybody's not meant to go on the trip because they're not going to work as hard as you. You know. So he said, everybody's not meant to go on the trip. And
that's true.
I truly believe that. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. That's pretty much what I was saying. Everybody can meet the ride.
Can't tell everybody. You can't tell everybody, yo.
Ma'am?
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that you can't tell everybody, yo, what God has for you. What God has for you is for you. As he was saying, everybody can't go on the trip with you. You know, because everybody's not there with you. They might not be on the same faith level as you are.
Yes.
So you got to, you know, sometimes you got to keep to yourself, you know. And then, you know, as you get up there and get to the blessing, then you can help them along. But as you on that journey and going through that process, the purpose that God has for you, sometimes you got to be by yourself. Sometimes you got to be alone. Sometimes this journey is not for everybody. Sometimes you got to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we just got to be quiet, hush up. I have a family member right now, and it's so encouraging because she said this whole month she's turning off the internet, the phone, everything, but she can hear from God. And that's so amazing that she want to do God's will, that she wanted to turn off everybody and everyone, and she got to be by herself because she could hear the voice of God. And sometimes, and God might tell her, not just this month, he might say, go another month. So we just got to listen to the voice of God, hear the voice of God, and do the will of God. Because we don't want to just be in his good will. We want to be his perfect will, not even his permissive will. We want to be in his perfect will. So we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we just got to do what God has for us to do.
And it, you know what? It's just so funny you say that. Now, I remember it wasn't the last time with Papa Six Eyes, but when Prince passed, and, you know, Prince passed in 2016, and in April. And I can remember sitting at the table with Papa Six Eyes. We was drinking coffee and eating zucchini bread. And at first, I had him watching Phil Donahue, and Farrakhan was on. So he said, "Son, I'm gonna look at this on the big screen because I'm straining my eyes on this little screen. Yo, Apple, I'm gonna go watch it on this bigger screen." I see that. I said, "All right." I said, "You just threw a shot at Apple." I said, "Okay." I said, "So before you do that," I said, "let's go to Graceland." I mean, not Graceland. I said, "Let's go to Paisley Park." And he said, "I ain't about to go to no Paisley." I said, no, we're going to go virtual." So I typed in Paisley Park, and, you know, everybody was, you know, sending their well wishes and everything. And he said, you know, Prince, he said he was a bad man, you know, great musician, great talent. And he said, "Son," he said, "you just got to concentrate on living." He said, "Concentrate on living because death's going to take care of itself." And he said, "When I get up there, I just want to hear, you know, well done, my child." And it's just funny you just said that because I just remembered him saying that at the table while we had our coffee and zucchini bread. And, yeah.
Amen. Well, we definitely want to hear "well done, my good and faithful servant," because I don't want to preach another sermon, but he said, "Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get a lot of people that have different teachings on this matter, and mm-hmm. I'm not debating with them. All I know is the Bible said it. Because the Bible said it. Your interpretation of it is what you think. But all I know is he said, not everyone. And these same folks he was talking about, "Yeah, we done many great works in your name." And he said, "I'm going to say to you, I ain't never know you." That's so you got to make this thing real. And you got to be real about God. Stop. This is not the time. We can't play with God. He judges the heart. You know,
right.
So you fool me and everyone around you. But you can't fool God. And that's
right
on that.
And
that's right.
He knows your thoughts.
People question. They question. They say, "Well, maybe they." I said, "I'm not going to get in the argument of who's saved and who's not saved. All I know is when you get saved, there's a conversion that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversion changes your perspective on how you look at life." And he says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." What was the mind of Christ Jesus? That was to do the will of the Father. Short version. We ain't got to get all super deep. Do God's will. What is God's will? To spread his love and reconnect the lost man back to the everlasting God. And
please put yourself on mute, whoever's making noise, skating, or whatever you're doing. Thank
you. Amen. A little background noise there.
All right. If it's coming from you, it's all right.
I don't think it's coming from me. we're at the end of our program today. I got to get ready to go to work. The Lord has been good, been kind, been gracious. I solicit your prayers for my wife, my sister, my family, our church, the ministry here. Myself, this is 2024. We're going to walk this year together, and I'm looking for God to elevate each one of us to finish stuff that we started.
Yes.
Amen. And to do what need to be done in this season. And I think that's a real good focus on us is, man, I got to put behind me the things of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's the success and the failures. And I got to press for the purpose or the mark of God now in my life, his calling for my life. So, and I think all of us can benefit from the thought of, okay, Lord, I did that, that was good. I didn't do that, that was bad. What can I do now? Or what should I do now so that I will be good? Because he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So not only am I to seek God's kingdom, but I am to seek God's righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. No, that's my sister just said. Amen. And you fell asleep yesterday at the end when we was in the bonus time, Amber. He was talking, Brother Six was talking about you.
Hello, Amber.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, ma'am? How you doing? Happy New Year.
I can't
right now.
I won't
call. Ain't nobody listening.
But he's being too good to me.
Yes, yes. Amen. 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 Let's hear from you.
So I'm looking forward to probably and maybe adding a little bit more. I love in the future here, maybe doing like I did last of. It's like a medicine to the body. So I may be searching for our comedians, gospel comedians, to do a little segment of them, 5-10 minutes.
Please do.
Because I think we enjoy that.
We got a comedian on the phone.
No.
We already got a comedian on the phone.
Is
Eddie Murphy here?
We're gonna search for new talent, some other talent. We're gonna get some people some other exposure, you know. Because we wanna expose we want to touch as many as we can. I'm thankful again to all of you that have joined us tonight. We're just going to keep one another lifted up in prayer. Every special request, as I pray, just put that thought in your mind and your heart as I close us out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for allowing us to see a brand new year. Thank you that our names made the woke list early this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you have chosen to allow us to be your representative here on planet Earth. Now, God, we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to continue to lead us and to direct us that we may represent you in the best way possible for our lives. Lord God, those things that we don't understand and we're still struggling with understanding, we pray at some point in our personal study and in our collective fellowship that you will reveal to us how to improve in those areas. And God, as you do those things, we are mindful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. And as you help us, we're going to reach back and help others that have not become as strong as we are in our faith walk. And so, Lord, we thank you for making us strong. Thank you for getting us to this point because we didn't do it by ourselves. It was by your grace we accomplished what we have today. Now we pray for divine health within us, that you will continue to help us to be spiritually healthy and physically healthy. We thank you for mental strength and mental stability. Lord God, we know that all things are possible to them that believe. And our faith is in you to help us to overcome the obstacles that lies before us. And as you do it, God, we just tell you thank you in advance. We love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us how to love our neighbors. We know that the greatest of commandments is to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul and strength. And the second one that is equal to it is to love our neighbors as ourselves. So, God, as we have learned to love ourselves, help us to learn our neighbors equally as well. And our neighbors are those in this world with us. And we thank you today. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Love you all. And until next time, God bless and God keep you. Any announcement about any other programs, Brother Six, before we go?
Just tune into the 6 Hours Radio Network. We got something for everybody. Two stations, 6 Hours Radio Network Global. Take these numbers down, 424-243-9617, 515-605-9340. Join and like the 6 Hours Radio Network group. Good night, America.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Love you all.
Love you all.
Good night. God bless.